Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to be our counselor and to give us power to build his kingdom. When you walk in the Spirit, you access the intelligence, the heart, and the will of God. I've had people, I'm talking to them, and I'm just doing my job. I'm at work, and I'm doing my job. And all of a sudden, they'll say, my hair is standing up on my arm. I know what that is. They have stepped into a person who is matured, and the presence of God is in my life. Yes. Is that good? When you talk to people, and they're just like, and it's like, I was teaching a class at work, it was a class on career development. Amen. Career development. And I'm teaching career development. And the people were sitting there and they were listening. And then one young man came to me afterwards and he said, I really enjoyed your class. Amen. But I was just teaching career development. But I was teaching career development under the anointing. All right. Did you hear me? Whenever I teach a class, I don't care what the curriculum is. When I step in that classroom, the anointing steps in with me. And I have the ability to slide in some principles. Because I want to properly represent Christ. And I want to be mature so that others will be impacted by my life. Is that right? Look at this. Someone who is growing spiritually will become more and more like who? Like Christ. He said, if you are really growing spiritually, you're going to become more and more like Christ. It says the spiritually mature will be able to distinguish good from evil. See, as you mature in God and you begin to grow spiritually, good and evil, you'll be able to pick it up the minute you meet it. Amen. You can feel it. You can feel the spirits of good and evil because you are tapped into God and you become knowledgeable and you become spiritual. Do you know, because I've been studying the word for so long, when I meet people and I ask them, you know, are you a believer? And they, yes, I've been going to church all my life. Now, I want to tell you something. When I meet you and that's your first statement to me, then that gives me a clue that you are proud about the fact that you've been going to church all your life. Then what that does, it clues me. Now I'm going to start asking you some questions. I said, okay, you've been going to church all your life. Tell me what you've learned. Well, you know, I just go to church every, then they start stumbling. You know, I go to church every Sunday and I learn about God. I said, could you tell me some of the things that you learned? Well, now I can't remember everything. I'm like, okay, all right, okay, all right. I get where you're at. See, because when you are spiritually mature, you can wake me up at 3 o'clock in the morning. Just let me get my eyes open. And I can tell you what I believe. I can tell you in whom I believe. I can tell you about the God that I serve. Amen. And then I'm just on a roll. Amen. See, when you meet a person and you begin to talk to them about their relationship with Christ, they should be talking about God. Did you catch that? If all you can tell me is about your church and your choir and your worship team and all of that, that's all you telling me. I know right there. I said, okay, I know where you're at. Because spiritually mature people are not focused on people. Amen. Is that good? Yeah. Spiritually mature people are not focused on how well the choir sang. Spiritually mature people, they're talking about their great God. They're telling you about how great God is. And guess what God did? And you know, I read the word and I was reading my Bible because I do listen for that too. Amen. If I talk to you 5 or 6 times and you never bring up the fact that you are in the word, that's a clue to me. Because you know what? It's difficult for me to communicate with you and not bring God up and his word and what he's done for me. So we're supposed to be growing into maturity. Is that right? And we should be able to discern what good from what? From evil. That's what we should be doing. Look at this. It says after salvation, every Christian begins the process of spiritual growth. Is that good? With the intent to become spiritually mature. It is an ongoing process. You never stop growing. Until the day you die, you will be growing as a Christian. I've been saved 44 years. I know I don't look like I should have been saved that long. I know y'all should be saying that's right, Pastor Joyce. Amen. 44. Do you know 44 years is almost 50 years that I've been walking with God, that I accepted Christ, and I'm still growing. I'm still growing. I have not arrived. I am still growing. Do you know God just told me some stuff about myself yesterday? And I'm not going to tell you what he said. What did he tell you about you? Yourself. But he showed me an area where I needed to grow. And as I was praying tonight, I was crying to the Lord. I said, Lord, take that out of me. There's some things in me. There's a couple of things I got in me from a little child. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And every now and then it raises its ugly head. And I said, God, take that out of me. I was asking the Holy Spirit, take that out of me. You know why I want him to take it out? Because it's going to hinder me from becoming all that God created me to be. That's right. It's going to hinder my Christ-likeness. I said, Lord, take that out of me just tonight. I can't look at the fact, oh, I've been saved all these years and I've read the Bible through many times. That doesn't mean you arrive. I thank God that it's a process. It's a process. Christian maturity requires a radical reordering of one's priorities. That's a powerful statement. A radical reordering of your priorities. That means if you're going to mature in Christ, the things that used to be important to you cannot be important. The things you used to do, you can't do that, because if you keep doing the same things, how can you mature? So you got to radically, it didn't say just reorder, radically reorder and put things in a different order of importance. And number one should be God. Is that right? That's the importance right there. The radical, putting him as number one. It says of one's priorities, changing over from, oh, now here we go. Pleasing self to pleasing God. And learning to obey God. Oh, my God. If you do not do this, if you don't cease to please yourself and think, I just want to please God. That's what I was saying to God when I was crying out to him as I was preparing for Bible study. I said, God, I want to please you. I want to be real, Lord. I want to please you, God. And he said, and learning to obey God. Now, how many in this room going to be honest and say you got a problem with the obey word? Put your hands up. Okay. You cannot grow spiritually and keep disobeying God. It's not going to happen. Your level of growth is dependent on your level of obedience. Did you get that? Your level of growth is dependent on your level of obedience. And this is why we have so many spiritually immature Christians in the church. Paul said you ought to be on meat, but you're still on milk. You still suck in spiritual bottles and pacifiers. Did you get that picture? Pet me, pet me. See, it comes a time, if you had a child and that child is 10 years old and they still suck in a pacifier, that's a problem. That's an indication that there's some abnormalities there, right? God is saying, but I've got people who are my children that 10 years later, they're still on a spiritual pacifier and a bottle. And you notice babies, can I tell you something about babies that you probably already know? Babies don't care about nobody but themselves. Is that right? They cry. Why? They want everything. They want, it's all about them. And even when they get to be 2 years old, they're selfish. Do you know you don't have to teach a baby to be selfish?
No.
2 year old, that's my toy. That's how we act in the church. That's my seat. I sit in that seat. Now, I don't know why that brother, sister sat in that seat. I sit in that seat every Sunday. I know they saw me sit. I've been sitting in that seat for 10 years. And they're going to park their hips in my seat. You spiritually immature. You see. Another indication. You in the choir. And you, they don't ever let me lead a song. Because you can't lead. Come on now. You don't have a leading voice. Now you got a good background voice. But you don't have a leading voice. But the devil will have you mad and upset because they didn't get the microphone and let you lead. That's immaturity. Can I give you another example of immaturity? I did all of that work on the Busy Bee Club and the pastor did not call my name. If you still need to be recognized for everything you do and get a pat on the head, you are spiritually immature. Do you know there are a lot of churches that I have been part of that I did follow-up work with people, I'm praying with people, going to the hospital to see about people, and the pastors never knew it. They didn't know. I was just doing the work of the Lord. I didn't need, you know, pastor, I went to see Sister So-and-so, and I prayed for her. You still immature. Amen. You still need people to give you accolades. You're immature. See, a spiritually mature person is a person that's about God's business. They don't care what anybody sees or doesn't see. Because they are not working for the pastor. They're working for the Lord. And so they're not concerned about that. But he said we should be growing into maturity. Look what he said. We should be aware that growth often comes through trials. Now, let's work that one. Yeah. How many want to be spiritually mature? Let's take a poll. Okay, all right. So now you better get ready for some trials. See, spiritual strength is developed in the hard times of life. This statement here, I heard Dr. Charles Stanley say years ago, over 25 years ago, and I have lived this statement. My greatest growth was in my greatest pain. Whenever I matured the most, it was because I was going through something. And you know why that is? Because something about pain makes your prayer just a little stronger. Amen. When you're in pain, all of your attention is on God. Is that right? I mean, he has your undivided attention. Oh, Lord, you are focused on the Lord because you are hurting. And he said, but this, he said, we should be aware that growth often comes through trials. So now if you're going through a trial, then you won't be whining and complaining. Said, Lord, you're going to bring me through this, but this thing is going to make me, it's going to make me stronger, Lord. Okay, I can see you all are still excited about it. Ephesians 4 and 14 says, then we will no longer be immature like children. When we mature, when we won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. Let me give you an example of what that looks like. There are a lot of philosophies that are coming into the church that are not of God. There are a lot of people that are tapping into different philosophies and different beliefs that are not of God. And one in particular that I'm very concerned about that I've seen over and over again, Christians are tapping into yoga. Say that. I will say it. That's right. And they don't know that yoga it actually comes from an Eastern religion. Amen. And and you will tap into something that you really don't want to tap into. They're not just stretching their body. Each of those moves means something. They have a meaning. I did the research. They have a meaning. And they have different types of things that are out here. There is a religion, or not a religion, but a group of people who can heal supernaturally. And they're called... The religion or the belief system is called Reiki. I did something on that before, Reiki. And what they do is with Reiki, they take their hands and put it over a person's body, and the heat from their hands brings healing. And people actually do get healed. Can I tell you something? The devil can heal too. The devil can heal. But his power is not coming from God. And so there are a lot of belief systems. There is something that I read on it, and I'm trying to remember it's connected to yoga. They have something they call, it's called the Kundalini spirit. Kundalini spirit. And thank you. And you know what? It mimics the Holy Spirit. It's called the Kundalini spirit. It mimics the Holy Spirit. It acts like people react to it just like they do the Holy Spirit. See, anything God has, the devil has a counterfeit. Anything God has, Satan always brings a counterfeit. If you are not maturing in the Lord, you will tap into these things. As I explained one time before, on my job, I had to go through a training. It was called that they're now using in the psychological field that's called dialectical behavior therapy. Well, dialectical behavior therapy, actually, it came out of Zen Buddhism. And they're now psychologists and psychiatrists are now using it and working with people and dealing with their issues. So I was on a job at that time and I had to be certified in my job. So we were sitting in this meeting in the training. And so the person that was training me, who was also a Christian, he had had two master's degrees, and this man was very knowledgeable, African-American man. And so and when you do the training for the dialectical behavior therapy, what it teaches you is mind control when you're going through things. And so they said to us, we were sitting around a table, and they said, okay, close your eyes and pretend that you're on another island. You're in Hawaii and you're on the beach. Can you feel the wind? What can you hear? And this is how they talk, right? And then they said, now we're going to have you open your eyes now. And I said, so they had us open their eyes. And so they asked everybody around the table, so what did you see or hear? And the person said, well, you know, I heard wind. Oh, wow. Okay. And then they said, well, what did you see or hear? And the person said, well, you know, I envisioned something. They would say things. So when they got to me, they said, well, what, Joyce, what did you see? I said, I was praying. I told them, I said, I was praying. They said, okay, next person. And in one of the trainings, they had us to go outside, Brother Chris. They told us, okay, you're going to go outside and we're going to line up and you're going to close your eyes and you're going to blindly follow the person in front of you. And you're not, you can't open your eyes, and you just have to let the person in front of you lead you. And so they were all getting ready to go out and go outside. And so I was sitting there. And somebody said, Joyce, are you going? I said, no. You're not going to go out? I said, no, I'll be here when you get back. Because the Holy Spirit said, no. No, because they were trying to teach a concept of trust. And they were, had different principles they were teaching, but God said, don't tap into that. And even though this was my job, and I'm that somebody might have could have reported me or whatever, but I'm going to tell you something about me. I trust my daddy God. And I say, if I got to tap into that to keep my job, you can have this job. Because you have a lot of people that are going along. Well, this is my job. Give you another example. Somebody in our organization, they sent out an email a few weeks ago. And this particular person said, I want everybody to email me their favorite song. Because they were going to use it. I guess he's going to play it in a staff meeting or something. So everybody email me their favorite song. This is a person that's kind of high up. And so I didn't respond to it at first. So they sent the email out again. They said, the second email said, if you don't give me a song, I'm going to pick a song for you. So when the email came out the third time today, me and about four more people hadn't given their song. So I said, now, Lord, he didn't ask me the third time. So I put on that Tasha Cobbs immediately. For you that know this Tasha Cobbs, she's a gospel singer. I typed in the email, Tasha Cobbs, immediately. That's the song I like. I like all his songs on that. But immediately, he came through immediately. God came through immediately. That's my song. So he texted me, emailed me back. Thank you. You're welcome. Now I'm going to see if you're going to play Tasha at the staff meeting. Because you asked me for my favorite song. See, I was trying to be politically correct and not answer you at all. But you pressed me. Now I'm going to tell you what my song is. Amen. See, And this is what we have to stand. But you know, you can stand and you don't have to be condescending.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
You don't have to put anybody down.
Right.
If you come in my cubicle, everybody know who I stand for.
Come on. Yeah.
I got scriptures and angels. Not a lot of them. Don't get crazy. I got one angel in my cubicle. Some people got 10. Now, you don't need 10 angels up there. Just get you one. Amen. But they know where I stand. Mm-hmm. I'm consistent in my walk. Mm-hmm. That means you're mature. Is that good?
Yes,
Lord Jesus, they're not going to trick me. Because I got the Holy Spirit. It says the key to maturity is consistency. Now, I really need to talk about this. Consistency and perseverance in doing those things we know will bring us what?
Closer
to God, such as Bible reading,
yes.
Prayer,
yes.
Fellowship with other believers.
Yes.
Mature believers. Okay. Thank you, baby. Yes. Mature believers. He said we need to have consistency and persevere in reading our Bibles and prayer. I am amazed at the believers that say they want to grow, but they don't read the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot grow as a Christian if you don't read the Bible that you say you believe in. And the devil is doing all he can to discount our Bible and say, you know, well, how do you know that Bible works? And then a person came to me one time and they said, well, you know, this is some lost books. And I said, well, that might be true. I said, but I'm working the 66 I got. The 66 is, I'll tell you, 66 is doing a job. So whatever's lost, I'm good. I'm good. The 66 is doing its job. Amen. And I'm still trying to master the 66. So them ones that's lost, just leave them where they at. Because it's going to take me a lifetime to master the 66. Huh? I'm still working on the 66. 44 years later, I'm still working on 66. And you going to worry me about some lost about books? Well, you... Amen. People say stuff to me, they don't ever know where I'm going to come from. Look. Says, no matter how hard we might work on those things. Oh, Holy Ghost Geth gave me an email. I got to stop. Because, you know, is this still Black History Month?
Yes.
Okay, this is a good Black History spot. Right. Put some Black history in there. And the people say, some Black people, not all Black people, they say, well, why do you read that Bible? Because that's the white man's Bible. I said, you know what? Now I don't know about all that. But if I was the white man, I wouldn't have left in there that there's no Jew, no Greek, that we're all same in God. There's no respect to person. If I was the white man, I would have took that out. Now, if that's his book, thank you, sir. Thanks you. Thanks you. Appreciate you. Thanks you for the book. Because, see, I have seen what the book has done in my life. I'm not talking about what my mama said and my grandmama said and so-and-so said. I'm telling you what the book did in me. So I don't have a problem if they gave us a book. See, people wasting time about, well, how we know? How you know that's God, the right Bible? I say it's working for me. Now, if you don't want to work it, I'm going to work it. I'll work it for me and you. Because I know if it wasn't for that Bible, I would be crazy as a Betsy bug. I would be a nut, in other words. How many more nuts would be nuts? More of y'all be nuts out there. Okay. All right. Just as crazy. Some of y'all know you as crazy as you could be before you got saved. And if it wasn't for Jesus, you would be a mess. So you gonna take away a book that kept me from being crazy? You better not touch my word. Don't touch my Bible. And people worrying about, you know, well, they using the book. They using that book to manipulate y'all. And I said, manipulate who? Now, one thing they should have took out of there was about the Holy Spirit. If I was them, I would have took out about the Holy Spirit. You see what I'm saying? See, the enemy is trying to discount the word of God because he does not want you to mature. He said, my word, he said, heaven and earth will pass away. He said, but my word will stand forever and ever.
I thank you for watching Walking in the Spirit. We are here every week studying the Word of God. We know that when we walk in the Spirit, we will mistake-proof our lives. I invite you to join us here at 245 North Root Street in St. Paul, Minnesota at 7 p.m. at Joyce Lester Ministries every Tuesday night. Why don't you join us and bring a friend? God bless.